This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
All right, would you please start in your Bibles, Hebrews 12, I'm so used to saying hymn number. Hebrews 12, I didn't get out of the mindset of the song leader and into the preacher mindset. So Hebrews 12 will be our main text this evening, primarily here. So if we turn any other places, or I ask you to look at other places, or you turn anywhere else, just hold your place here, and we'll keep coming back to Hebrews 12, hopefully at least to throughout the night, just to look at here. We're going to sort of like a high-level exposit of Hebrews 12. Verses 1 through 3, we're going to be primarily at. The title tonight, the title of my message is, Are You Tired or Are You Weary? Are You Weary? So, let's begin reading, then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. So, verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So you see the wherefore there. Usually when I read wherefore or therefore, it makes me look at the verses behind it just to see what it... You say, what is the therefore, therefore? What is the wherefore, therefore? And it reminds you just to look back, look at the previous verses. So wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. If you had read Hebrews, you would have just read Hebrews 11, which we call the Hall of Faith, where you read all these men of faith. So just keep that in mind as we're reading this, that we just heard about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, verse 1, you see over in Hebrews 11. So we just read about faith, and now we're wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Verse 3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's where I got the title. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll go in. Dear and Father, I'm just so thankful, Lord, for your word this evening. I thank you, Lord, for the truth it holds. Just thank you, Lord, for the comfort you provide through your Holy Spirit and through your word as we read. I pray that it just be a blessing to our hearts. Lord, I need this. You know that I need this, Lord, and just thank you for it. I just pray that you help me tonight just to clearly articulate the words that you would have me say. And if anything's not from you, you just help people not to remember that and just remember what is from you that you would have spoken tonight. So we just give you all the glory this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So I had a long introduction and a longer body, so we're going to try to get through these verses quickly. As you saw at the very end of verse 3, I want you to look at this phrase, and this is what we're going to be primarily talking about, and this is what everything is about, is the end of verse 3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This is written to believers. This is written to believers. So as you read in verse 1, right, let us lay aside every weight. We're talking about believers. All these things, when he says us, he's talking to believers. Wherefore, seeing we also, Hebrews chapter 11 was faith. That's where you came to faith in Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews 11, look over in verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6, right across the page. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You had to first put your faith in what God said about Jesus Christ. So Christ died for your sins. Praise the Lord. He was buried and he rose again. You had to first believe that and receive it and call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So you had to trust in Jesus Christ first. This passage, verses in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, is to believers. So you had to first get saved. So the first thing right off the bat is if you're not saved, then you trust in Jesus Christ tonight. Right. So that's the first thing. You need to be born again. So the first part of the intro is the birth of the believer, right? John 3, Jesus said you must be born again. John 1, 12 talks about becoming the sons of God if you receive Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You had to hear the word of God in order to get faith and put your faith in what God said, and then being born again of the Word of God in 1 Peter. So that's the first part of this. So leading into this is you have to first be a believer. So this would apply to you if you are saved. The second part of our introduction is the growth, or the life, I guess, the growth of the believer. So you see where it says in verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that I said before. So I'm putting kind of all those, there's a lot right there, there's a ton. You could probably stick on one phrase of this and preach a whole sermon on it, but we're going to lump all that into the growth of the believer, laying aside weights, laying aside sins, and running this race. It's all about the growth and the life of the believer. And then the second part will be, the last part of the intro we'll look at is the very end, where we said, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. So when you're doing these things, when you're laying aside weights, and we're going to look at what that means, and laying aside sins, and you're running this race, there's a chance that you could get weary, you could be tired. And so we're going to look at that in a little more detail. So the growth of the believer in Hebrews 12:1. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. In the holder place here, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 17, and you know this verse. I just wanted to remind you. The Bible says, "Put each other in remembrance of things." A lot of what you hear tonight, I'm sure you'll already know it or have heard it. But the Bible says to put each other in remembrance, because there is a chance that we might forget, even that we were purged from our old sins. There's people like that, right? We can get tired, we can get weary, worn out if you're not remembering. So, verse 17 in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's you're saved, you're in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's something new about the believer, right? You've trusted Jesus Christ, you have your old nature, but now there's a new nature. You're a new man. You're a new creature in Christ. So there's something new about you. You used to have a mind. We used to have minds that were after the flesh, and we lusted after things of the flesh, and we were in the world. Ephesians 2. We walked after the course of this world, the principality of the air. But now we are a new creature. So we have a new mind, a new nature. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Here we go. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is on laying aside. So now that you're a new creature, right, it said lay aside things. Now notice it said lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. So it's almost like it separates weights and sins. Now I think weights can become sins, and sins are weights, but there's a difference between some weights and some sins, because you might have, the Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cares are weights, right? Care, it's not wrong to care. And someone, you care for your child that's gone off into the world, or maybe they're going through something, you care for them, and that's a weight. But it's not necessarily a sin, but you got to cast all that onto Jesus Christ, because he cares for you. So you have to, there's some, and this may not be talking about that specifically, but there's some things in our lives that they're just weights, they're just burden us. Right? Maybe for some people, the weight might be golf or basketball. Just a weight that it wasn't a sin all the time. It maybe could become a sin. It's something that burdens you. And so when you're trying to run a race, it'll slow you down. You know, if I'm running a race, when I used to run cross country, I wouldn't recommend doing it. But you wore these short shorts, which I would never wear ever again. But you wear these short shorts, and they're the lightest material. And they're just so thin, and it's so flat, right? And then you have the shirt. Sometimes you wouldn't wear a shirt, but it's the lightest material. And you don't have, it's not like you're running with ankle weights. If you're running a race, if you're in a race, you're not when you're training or anything, you're actually running the race. You get these lightest shoes. One guy always had, he had the lightest shoes. He could bend them like that really far. And so you wanted to get all the weights you could off that you don't need, and only have on what you do need to run. So the Bible's telling us to run this race with no weights. No weights, right? It may not be a sin, but it's a weight. But there also could be sins, right? So let's look at what the Bible says to lay aside in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, there's the same word. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, laying aside, you see that? Laying aside all malice and all guile, that wouldn't be any of us, right? And hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Well, that's just everybody's in that category, I'm sure. And as newborn babes, ready? Look at this. So he says, lay aside these things, lay aside all these old things that we used to walk in this way. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So your growth has to start with laying aside some things. You have to lay aside these weights, these sins that just so easily beset us. Besetting is to encompass or to almost besiege or to take over, right? There's some sins in our lives that maybe it affects you, but it's not really a burden for me. Or maybe there's a sin that easily takes over my life, but it doesn't really cause you to stumble. But lay aside those things. Lay them aside, and then you can then grow and start reading the Word of God and desire the sincere milk of the Word. And then so that's laying aside. Ephesians 4:20. More on laying aside every weight and the sin. Ephesians 4:20. Trying to go quickly here because this is just introduction. 2 pages of introduction. All right. Ephesians 4:20. All right. Let's see, is it right? Yes, that's right. Ephesians 4:20. I'm going to go and read, sorry. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught, verse 21, by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, you see, that's like laying aside, taking things off, putting down some burdens, put off concerning the former conversation. And now you can don't take my word for it, go and study it out, but the word conversation is your way of life, how you're living. The former conversation, you used to live this way, you used to do these things. The old man, there it is, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we're kind of getting ahead, but there's your mind right there. See how you have the putting off of some things and renewing some other things? Wherefore, look at verse 25, putting it away, laying it aside, lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It keeps going down about sins, but lay these aside, put these things off, lay these things aside, get off these sins and start growing. And then, so then there's the putting off, and then there's the putting on, there's the growing, there's the race that we have to run. So let's look at this race that we have to run. So we have the laying aside every weight and the sins that does so easily beset us. And then we have, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, 1 Corinthians 9. Is that right? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 9. Running a race is tiring. If you run, you work out, you do anything, it wears you out. It wears your body down. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul's writing here. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So he's certain about where he's running. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's not just punching around. He's fighting an enemy that he knows he's fighting, and he's fighting in the right way. But I keep, look at verse 27, but I keep under my body. He's keeping his body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he's running this race, and while he's running this race, he's having to keep his body down. This stinking flesh here, that Brother Michael just want to get saved from, right? We're still stuck in it. We still mess up, and so none of us here are claiming to be have achieved the status of Jesus Christ, but we're striving, we're running, and we're laying aside those weights and sins. Hopefully, you're laying aside other ones, and you're not picking back up the old ones, but you're laying them aside and you're putting on new things, right? You have the fruits of the flesh, and then you have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. So you lay these things aside. You're keeping your body under subjection while you're running this race. So it's a battle. It seems tiring. And definitely when you're running, if you're running a physical race, as we said, it gets tiring. So there's a spiritual race that we are running as believers, and it might wear you out. It might get you tired, and you may not be tired yet, but you may get tired soon, or you may already be tired. And this is kind of what the Hebrews 12, you kind of see where it says, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. It gives us some instruction on how to avoid, how to stay away from being weary and faint. So on the last part of that, in the intro, weary and faint in your minds and running with patience, let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. And then if you still have your place over in Hebrews 12, I'm going to read just that one part where we're on next. At the end of verse 1, you see, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. And then verse 3 at the end, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So patience is endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. So you can endure it, but if you're fretting, that's not patience. You can get through it, but if you're murmuring about it and complaining, that's not patience. Another definition, the act or quality of waiting long for justice or, watch this, expected good without discontent. So what did we just read about Jesus Christ, right? And we're going to get into this more, but I'm going to get ahead of myself. We're supposed to be patient running this race because he was patient and did what he was supposed to do, expecting something good to happen for the joy that was set before him. Look in verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So he endured these things. What did it say? Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. He endured these things without murmuring or complaining. He didn't want it. He didn't want the cup to. He wanted God to take the cup from him, but he still endured it, and he still went through it, and he still pleased God the Father. He had an expected good at the end of it. He knew that God was going to give him, going to glorify him. We're going to look at that later. So there's the weariness. That's patience now, and weary is having strength much exhausted by toil. So that's the physical, right? We talked about working and you get tired, you wear yourself out. But here's the mental side of this, because it says weary and faint in your minds. So he's not talking about a physical tiredness, because you can be tired physically, but then still pray in your mind and still be, you know, on fire for the Lord in your mind and still be living for Jesus Christ in your mind, even though you can't physically do anything. Or you could be just as physically fit as anybody in the world, and then your mind's so tired that you don't even live for Jesus Christ, and you're just off in the world, and all your energy is just towards that. And so you are wearied and faint in your mind, but not in your body. So that's why it starts with the mind for the believer. It's about the mind. So having the second definition here, having the patience, right, exhausted, or mind yielding to discouragement. So you have either having your patience exhausted, or your mind is yielding to discouragement. So now you may be exhausted, but is your patience exhausted? That's the weariness here is talking about. You may be tired, you may be worn out physically, but is your mind yielding to discouragement? Right, there's a lot of things that are discouraging in this world. And there's a lot of things that are encouraging, right? So we can yield to what's discouraging us and you know, get tired and worn out and give up. Or we can yield to what's encouraging and you know, look at that and be excited about that and be encouraged by that. So you see how there's the physical and the spiritual and the mind. But we're dealing with the mental, the mind, that's getting worn out and tired. So Galatians 6 is your, you're probably already there. Galatians, I lost it. Galatians 6. In verse number 9, and let us not be weary, as the weary, in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So you see the weariness there in well-doing. So you may be doing well, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, you're preaching or you're spreading the gospel. It's weary praying, right? Praying for minutes, half an hour is hard, right? It gets tired. It's weary of the flesh, right? The apostles, they were falling asleep trying to pray. So it's not easy to live, to walk the Christian life, and to do well and well doing. So it's not necessarily saying weary physically, because you may be doing good things and you just get tired of doing good things. You just I'm gonna give up. I'm gonna stop doing it. So be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And there's the joy that's set before you. You'll reap if you faint not. So there's the weariness in well-doing. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So endure hardness. That means there's something that's hard that you're fighting against, that you're striving against, and you need to endure that. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says study. Well, Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, much study is weariness of the flesh. So even just studying the Word of God wears you out. It gets you tired. It gets you worn out. I'm tired of studying today. I'm just worn out up here. So praise the Lord. Let's look at a guy who went through a lot of trouble, a lot of trial, a lot of maybe discouragement. And you know him, 2 Corinthians 11. It's Paul. 2 Corinthians 11. I'm just going to read this real quickly. 2 Corinthians 11:23, he says, are they ministers of Christ? 2 Corinthians 11:23, I speak as a fool, I am more. in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths often. You think that wore him out? Probably. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Be not weary in well-doing. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. It's a lot of peril. Don't be weary. Look, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, this is the physical struggle he's going through. But he kept going. He's still doing it. So he obviously didn't get wearied in his mind. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things, verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. So this, I'm not saying I'm there not by any means, but he's glorying in infirmities. You saw, we read all the infirmities that what he just went through. He didn't faint not. And if you will read another place where he finished his course. So he was running this race, probably endured something that no Christian I know will ever have to endure, some horrible things that he went through, but he didn't get wearied in well-doing. John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Right? But he has overcome the world. So you may have tribulation in the world, but you have comfort and hope and help in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking at in Hebrews 12. You have weariness, look unto Jesus. Weariness, consider him. All right, go over back to Hebrews 12. And the last part of that, verse 3, will end our intro. All right, verse 3, Hebrews 12:3. At the very end, it says, lest ye be wearied and faint, it says, in your minds. And so we were talking about that, in your minds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. That's the believer. The Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's for the believer, 2 Timothy 1:7. So God's given us things to help us. He's given us the mind of Christ and a sound mind. But there's an attack on the mind by Satan, the deceiver, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So there's the mind of Christ, the sound mind. This is what the believer has, but there's a battle that we are fighting in our minds. While we're running this race, we're fighting a battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So right, there's the physical, but we're not fighting in the physical. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's flesh, right? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what is our weapons? But look at this. Read verse 5 very carefully. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, I think it's 3 times there, you see some mention almost to the mind. You have the imaginations, you have the knowledge, and you have thought to the obedience of Christ. So our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against a physical battle. It's a battle in our mind. With the armor of God, there's one that says the helmet of salvation, right? You have that helmet to guard your mind. Because if you don't think you're saved, or if you don't realize you're saved, you're not thinking about the fact that Christ died for my sins, I'm a follower of Christ, then Satan can just pick you right off, and you'll just go right off into the world, and you'll live like a lost person, right? You can forget that you were purged from your old sins, we talked about. So right here is the battle in the mind. Casting down, there's the laying aside. Imaginations. So you may not have a struggle with some physical things, but maybe it's just in your mind. You just got to cast it down and get rid of it. With that, we have Satan deceiving the minds of people in 2 Corinthians 11:3, right? The simplicity is in Christ. You're deceived by Satan. We have the mind and the flesh, the battle. If you read Romans 7, check it out. Paul's struggling with this battle in his mind between his flesh and his spirit. And so he's serving the law of God in his mind, but his body, he's fighting constantly. So there's a battle in our mind that we're trying to fight every day. Romans 12, go right along with this, Romans 12. Talking about the mind that we have. Romans 12, verse 1. I'm just going to read it, sorry. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. There's the mind there, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul says, I die daily. There is a constant renewal of that inner man, that renewing of our mind. I've already heard that before. Well, listen, hear it again. Well, I already heard that. I already know what that. I know what you're going to talk about. I don't need to come tonight. No, well, just come again, and it'll help you some more, and you'll be able to tell some more people, and you'll be able to think about that. But we're just so messed up with things getting shoved in our face, right? Hollywood shoves stuff in our face, and the news media shoves stuff in our face, and the billboards stick things in our face, and you can't even get out the checkout line without seeing stuff shoved in your face, and you're just everything just to distract the believer from what his purpose is, which is to, right, we're running this race, we're staying this course, but our minds get distracted, and then we start just doing some other thing that, you know, oh, we're fishing. Okay, that's good, it's not a sin, but is that all you're doing, right? Is your life, is your purpose on earth as a believer to fish, right? I'm not getting anything against fishing. My dad fishes, I fish sometimes, but I'm just saying that that's not the focus, right? My focus is Jesus Christ. My focus is to run this race and to tell people about Jesus Christ. So the devil's got a lot of people, I think, in churches on the wrong course. They're trying to help people physically and not concerned with their spiritual condition and their soul's eternal destination. Ephesians 4:23 talks about renewing your mind and putting off the old man. There's right hand in hand. Philippians 4:6. Turn there real quick, and then we'll get into the message. Philippians 4:6. Philippians. I don't know if I can get there. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. I'm going to go ahead and read it. If you're not there, I'm sorry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, is that right? Yeah. Am I in the wrong place? That's right. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, yeah, there it is, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we read in Hebrews 12 about Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus. Well, looking unto Jesus Christ will keep your hearts and minds stayed. You'll have peace with God, and keeping your heart and mind stayed on Jesus Christ. So you see that you get peace with God when your heart and your mind are in Jesus Christ, thinking about Jesus Christ. It goes right along with Hebrews 12. Now we're going to get right into Hebrews 12. At the I think the heart of this passage right here is Jesus Christ, and that's really the heart of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ, right? Everything exalts Him. So go back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. So it says, "Lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." What are you supposed to do to not be weary and faint in your minds? Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Look at verse 3. Consider Him. Have you been considering Jesus Christ? Have you been looking at Him? Have you been looking unto Jesus Christ and thinking about Him? Or are we thinking about, you know, the game coming up? Or are we thinking about, you know, anything else to put in place of Jesus Christ? Everything is striving to get our minds off of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, you need to look to Jesus Christ. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, you need to consider Him. So let's do that tonight. So I hope you go home and do that tonight or this week. You look at Jesus Christ and you consider Him. But I want to consider Him tonight just to start you off, and then you can go and consider Him some more and think about Him some more. The whole Bible, this whole book is all about Jesus Christ. The whole Old Testament, right? He expounded unto them the Scriptures concerning Himself. So you just eat it up and learn more about Jesus Christ, think more about Him, and get your mind off the world, and you'll be running that race. So we have a battle while we're running this race. So let's look at Jesus Christ. So it says, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to just mainly look at this. I'm going to split this up into two sections, author and then the finisher. So go to Hebrews chapter 5, a couple pages over, Hebrews chapter 5. The author of our faith, Jesus Christ, the author of our faith. You believed on Jesus Christ, right? That's how you got saved. You had to trust in Him. You had to put your faith in Him. Well, He authored your faith. You say, well, what does that mean? He didn't make me believe. No. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. This is talking about Jesus Christ. If you read verse 8, though He were a son, capital S, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So he became the author of eternal salvation when he died on the cross and rose again the third day, conquered death and hell, gained victory over the grave. In Romans chapter 3, and there's a lot of verses on here that you can take right along with this. Any verse that talks about how when Christ died, he can now save you from your sins if you just believe on him. He authored your faith. He began it. He died on the cross. He made the way for you to be saved. You just need to trust in him to be saved. And now Romans 3 verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. So anybody... For there is no difference. So anybody that would believe on Jesus Christ, now he is the author of your faith. He made the way for you to be saved. You just got to believe on him to be saved. His death on the cross and rising from the dead made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. Ephesians 2:16, Romans 5:10 through 11, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. On a side note, it says in Romans 13:3 that God dealt to every man a measure of faith. I think you could make some application in that way. I don't necessarily, I'm not going to say 100% that that's what that's talking about, that he gave every man faith, because in Hebrews 12 it's talking about believers in Jesus Christ. So the other people have faith to believe, they just got to put their faith in Jesus. So now the finisher of our faith, I would say this is eternal security, because he finished it. He's going to finish it. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to finish it? Amen. Aren't you glad that he's going to finish it? He's the finisher of our faith. I think that's a good verse right there on eternal security. I'm going to use that actually next time I talk to somebody. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So these are just a couple of verses on eternal security. I believe this just goes right along with finishing our faith. There could be a bunch of other things you could say here, but I'm going to mainly look at eternal security. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. He's saying this is a hymn. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Aren't you glad that he is able to keep that which I've committed? I don't have to be able to keep that which I've committed. I committed unto Jesus Christ. I've called on the name of the Lord to be saved. But if I mess up, he is able. He's able to keep that which I've committed. I'm not saying go off and live in the world. But this is just saying if you mess up, which you will mess up. Right? He is a propitiation. The Bible says that... And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, stating that you will sin, right? Not that you don't want to sin. We try not to sin. We strive to live perfect. There's you can not sin for a day if you keep your mind and heart on that. But you're going to mess up. But he's going to keep that which you've committed. So I talked to this guy Rick in downtown, and it was just he believes you can lose your salvation. And I asked him, I was like, so if you sinned and you died immediately after that, would you end up in hell? And he's like, yeah, I would. And so, but he didn't really want to think about it. I couldn't get him on that for a while, but I finally got him to answer the question. And he really believed that if he sinned and he didn't get a chance to repent of that sin, and he died in his sins, he'd be dead in his sins, and he believes that he would be in hell burning. And I'm like, that's no way to live. I'm glad I don't have to live like that and be scared. Because you mess up all the time, and something could happen. What if you have an aneurysm that moment you messed up and now you're dead, and then boom, too late. Sorry, Jesus wasn't able to keep that which you... No, he was able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So he will save you. He will finish your faith. Philippians 1:6, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform it until Jesus Christ comes. So all the way up until I get taken out of here, the rapture happens, praise the Lord. I'm looking for that blessed hope. There's a looking. I'm looking for that blessed hope. He's gonna keep us. He's going to perform it. We're going to be saved. We're going to get out of here. Praise the Lord. So aren't you glad you don't have to keep it? Yeah. So there's a ton of verses. 2 Timothy 2:13, John 10:28-29, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, John 3:16, you could say, right? Everlasting life. 1 John 5:13, you know you have eternal life. 1 Corinthians 5:6, 1 Corinthians 3:15. There's so many more verses. That's just a few verses on eternal security, proving that you're saved. God's going to finish it. You got saved. He authored that salvation. He made the way for you to be saved. He's going to finish it. All right. So, the sufferings of Christ. I don't know how much more we're going to be able to get through. We're doing pretty good, though. Better than I thought we'd be doing. All right. Go back to Hebrews 12. So, we looked at the person of Christ. That's the first point. The sufferings of Christ is the next one. And then the last one will be the joy of Christ, which I don't know if we'll be able to get through tonight. But the sufferings of Christ. So look in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, there's a suffering, despising the shame that's all involved in the suffering, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. So we have, he endured the cross, he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, and then he is despising the shame. So, enduring the cross. Let's go, for lack of a better verse, let's use a great one, Isaiah 53. Great passage of scripture. Isaiah 53 is a bunch of places you can go with this. But we're just considering Jesus, right? We're just looking to Jesus, and hopefully it's a blessing to you, and hopefully it keeps you from being weary. That's what the Bible says it does. If you looking at a Jesus, lest you be wearied. Consider him, lest you be wearied. Isaiah 53, look at verse 3. This is talking about Jesus Christ, of course. No other person could do this. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That sounds like contradiction of sinners against himself. They're going against Jesus Christ. They're despising him. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. So that's the contradiction of sinners against himself. Look down at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's on the cross. He endured the cross. Greater than the punishment, the physical punishment that he endured, the wrath of God, as it says right here. He was oppressed, verse 7, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. So let's look down a little further. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He is enduring the cross when God the Father is pouring out his wrath on his Son, Jesus Christ. Turn over to Matthew 27 real quick, and we'll get more on the cross, the scene of the cross, before the cross, what he endured, the contradiction of sinners and the cross. So on the cross, he is suffering there, bleeding out, but greater than that, God poured out his wrath on him. Your own father punishing you in front of a bunch of people. Naked, he's hanging there on the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Matthew chapter 27. See if you see any of what we read, enduring the cross, or actually the contradiction of sinners. You see, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when he had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest. Let's go down a little further. Verse 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou king of the Jews? And the Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Apparently Pilate was saying that he was the king. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Look at this, and so much that the governor marveled greatly. That's endurance. That's enduring some contradiction of sinners against himself. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release the people, the prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife was said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day and Judea because of him. And so you keep reading here, you see how these men are just going right against Jesus Christ. And I want to lead right into the next part of this this point of sufferings of Christ, the despising the shame. So he endured this. He endured this contradiction. He endured what these people were putting him through, this shame and suffering. And so apparently it says he despised the shame. And I tried to look for places where Jesus was despising what he went through on the cross in the New Testament. I mean, maybe you guys know a verse, but I couldn't really find anything that said he despised the shame or he hated what he went through. We know he did because it says it right there. And we know he didn't want to. He didn't want to be mocked, right? If we read later, he put a robe on him, put a crown on him, put a reed in his hand, and made fun of him, like mocking him as a king. And we know he didn't want to be stripped of his clothes and hung on a cross. That's shameful. And we know he doesn't want to be punished by his own father, chastised right in front of a bunch of people out in the open. That's shameful. So, but he despised it, and we know that he did. It just doesn't. I couldn't really find another verse. And then I was thinking, well, he is God. So, in the Old Testament, if you find where God hates things, and you could probably maybe find some correlation. So, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And this is a blessing to me. Never saw this before. But it's really interesting. So, despising the shame. He's despising what he went through at that cross, at that scene. What we just read in Matthew 27. And you keep reading. He despised it. That has hatred, right? There's hatred there. He hated what he went through. So let's look at what God hates, right? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. That's Jesus Christ, right? He's the Lord. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Let's look at each one of these. A proud look. You think there are a bunch of people looking at Jesus Christ proudly? Those Pharisees, do you think they're pretty proud? Yeah, all through the New Testament, you read about the pride of the Pharisees. Pontius Pilate, he had some pride. Right? So, a proud look. That's what Jesus Christ hated. He despised that. He despised that proud look. A lying tongue. All those witnesses that are witnessing against Jesus Christ, he endured it, but he despised it at the same time. If you read in other Gospels, their stories didn't even agree with each other. They were lying. They were making up lies. So, he despised the lying tongue. Next one. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. What'd you just say? I betrayed the innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. The Pharisees, they wanted him dead. They wanted to kill the innocent blood, Jesus Christ. The Jews, they cried out, crucify him. The man that nailed him, he despised all that. He hated it. That's what the Bible says right here, right? He hated it. Heart that deviseth wicked imagination. You say, what was that? Well, the Pharisees, if you read in the very first verse, actually, they were seeking to kill him. Right? They took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They're trying to come up with ways, and you can read all through the Gospels, they're trying to figure out ways to trap him so they can catch him and kill him. So, an heart that devises wicked imaginations. They're wicked, the Pharisees. And Judas, I think, would be involved in that too. He's came up with a plan to betray Jesus Christ. He despised it. He hated it. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Jesus said, Judas, that thou doest, do quickly. Jesus Christ despised that. He was quick. He was fast. He was swift in running to mischief. Look, keep going again. Keep going. He that soweth discord among the brethren. I was like, well, discord among the brethren. But Judas was among, I guess, his brothers of the Jews. And there's some discord there because of Judas. They were divided. They were spread abroad. Right after Judas came and took Jesus, they were just scattered abroad. That's discord. He's just sowing discord among the brethren. And even the Pharisees, they're sowing discord among the Jews to try to get Jesus Christ to be crucified. Jesus Christ despised that. I skipped one. A false witness that speaketh lies. There it is. Again, the lies. The false witnesses. It just calls them out. Jesus Christ despised that. So everything that he went through on the cross, he despised, and I think it's laid out right here. You see in Proverbs 6 that he despised those things. He endured the cross. He endured the shame. He put up with it, but he despised it at the same time. We're not going to be able to get through the joy of Christ, but I'll just go ahead and tell you about it. We'll look some verses on it. But the joy, it says, go back to Hebrews 12. Go back to Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, So, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind, what do you got to do? You got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, verse 2, that was set before him. Look at the end of verse 2, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So his joy is what got him through this. He was looking at what came after the cross. He wasn't looking at the cross and hoping to get through it. He knew that he had joy coming after the cross. Moses, if you read the previous passage, these men of faith, Moses forsook Egypt and he didn't want to be called Pharaoh's daughter. So that way, and he gave up the pleasures of sin for a season, and he endured some suffering because of that. So they endured something, and because they were looking beyond. They looked at what the promises of God were. And of all people, Jesus Christ, He is God. So He of all people to believe what God said, He is the man, right? He trusts in what God said. He is God, and so He is our example of how to live. We should live as though what God says, right, is going to happen, and it will happen. It's just, do we believe it or do we not? Are we trusting in what God said or are we not? So He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now He's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the glory that Jesus Christ, the joy of Christ is Him being glorified. He suffered and He entered into His glory. Luke 24 and 26, 1 Peter 1:11. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3 and 8, Hebrews 8, chapter 8, verse 1. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. A lot of verses on that, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And I don't know if we're going to be able to look at it. Yeah, let's look at one of these passages before we close. Actually, no. Let's just go over to... I'm trying to, for sake of time, trying to get some of these things. So that's the joy of Christ, and you can look up the verses about Jesus Christ being glorified by the Father. There's a guy named Demas. Let's go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. There's a guy named Demas. I'm going to contrast just real quick Demas with some other people. Colossians 4. At the end of Colossians 4, in verse 14, you see Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So apparently Demas was a helper of Paul. And in another place you see in Philemon 1:24, he's written amongst these other people that were following Paul, or at least some helpers and servants of Jesus Christ. So they were following Jesus Christ, just right along with Paul. But if you go to 2 Timothy, later on, if you read more about Demas, you learn about what happened to Demas. If you look at this passage, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So Demas apparently was following Christ with Paul, but then he forsook Paul and then went off into the world. He obviously hadn't been looking at Jesus Christ in order to love this present world. You have to be looking at the world and thinking about the world and considering the world, and you're not considering Jesus Christ to go off into the world. So I believe that Demas was not considering Jesus Christ, and he got wearied and faint in his mind, and he went off into the world and forsook Paul. And then go to Isaiah chapter 6. So are you tired? What are you looking at? Have you considered Jesus Christ? Have you considered Jesus Christ? Are you considering Jesus Christ? Are you thinking about Him? Just in closing, let's look at some of these beasts around the throne of God. I thought this is very interesting. Someone showed me this one time, and I thought it went right along with what we're talking about. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. Let's go in the beginning. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Sounds like He's looking at Jesus Christ, looking to God. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, twain He covered His feet, and twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So they're facing, and if you read over in Revelation, you get more information, they're looking at the throne. They're flying around this throne. They're surrounding the throne of God, and they're looking at Him. They got these wings that are blocking their view from everything else, and they're just looking at God, and they just say, Holy, 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 the whole earth is full of His glory. How could they say that when over in the previous chapter, you have woe unto the prudent, woe unto the, verse 20, that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness. This is going on the earth when they see this, which justify the wicked for reward. There's all sorts of horrible stuff going on the earth. But these seraphim are just looking at God, and all they see is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And so obviously, what you're looking at affects what you're thinking about, and what you think about affects what you think about everything else. So how you live and how you walk, what you're looking at, has a great effect on that. And these seraphim are looking at God, and praising Him. All they see is God. Holy, holy. The whole earth isn't full of... These people are doing wicked things on earth, but the whole earth is full of His glory, because that's all I see. That's all I'm surrounded in. Right? Did you all hear what Hillary did? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Did you guys hear about what Obama tweeted? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. Did you guys read that on the news the other day? No, I just know about Jesus Christ. I know what He did for me. I'm looking to Jesus. Do you know about Jesus? I don't know what that person said, but I know Jesus Christ, and He'll always be there. He's always going to be holy, and He's always going to be glorified. So what we're looking at, what our perspective is, what we're thinking about, affects our minds. Where's your mind at? Where's your heart at? So just... hope that that's a blessing to you. It's a blessing to my heart. Just keep looking to Jesus. Keep considering Him. And praise the Lord. And you won't be weary, faint in your minds. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for Your word this evening. I pray that be a blessing to the hearts of people that heard it. It's a blessing to my heart. And I pray that You just work through Your word in our hearts for Your glory. And we just keep looking to You. Keep looking to You. Don't get weary. Don't get faint. Just please help us, God, to give You all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us, or write us, or email us in this most important matter, or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.